Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This is the broadcast for June 5th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, and by the way, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It starts with the moral people, and they absolutely guard their liberty jealously by invoking the checks and balances that made America great. That's how we're going to do it again. Welcome to the broadcast. It takes a healthy dose of faith in God and trusting that God's over government, and then a whole lot of repentance by the American people as we turn to God, and he promises us if we do, he'll heal our land. And he'll protect his people. You got to dig it. You got to love it. All right, a quick recap on yesterday's broadcast. We talked about the Illinois legislature passes bill legalizing abortions up to birth. Governor Wacko expected to sign. Pritzker. Anyway, what a sad shame. The states are certainly doubling down, either in favor of pro-death in the state of Illinois and New York and others, and pro-life in the state of many, or the case of many of the southern states and Missouri and, you know, Utah and a bunch of good states. The battle lines are being drawn in the culture war, that's for sure. Pro-life versus pro-death. Preservation of the most innocent among us or flat-out murder. And they're doubling down and picking sides and digging in, I'll tell you that right now in the culture war, folks. Each person, quote, is accepted unconditionally, says a Sandy, Utah neighborhood. Their whole neighborhood has the streets lined with rainbow flags. They call it Pride Week. Donald Trump doubling down, celebrating Gay Pride Month. Trump puts out statement celebrating Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month. Shame on you, Donald. Again, we don't want to be mean to these people. But when we say each person is accepted unconditionally, oh yeah? What about the person with my Christian values? Am I accepted unconditionally? I wish I was, but I'm not. Even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints expresses support for a fairness for all approach. Why are they talking about fairness for all if everybody's fairly represented? You see? So everybody's welcome to the table, all kinds of perversions, but the people who believe in simple, God-given families and Christianity and man-woman marriages and gender created by God as an eternal characteristic, etc., etc. None of those views welcome to the table, sad to say. The FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, literally worked to protect Hillary Clinton in the email scandal. Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton and crew got the documents via a Freedom of Information Act request against the government. The FBI literally doubled down and helped protect Hillary from criminal consequences. Wow, WorldNet Daily, WND.com with those details. Amazon, believe it or not, offered job to Pentagon official involved with a $10 billion contract that Amazon sought. Yeah, I kid you not. So what I'm saying to you is that Amazon got caught in a conflict of interest, criminal scandal. I'm serious. They literally were working to give the salary details discussion and negotiation while they were literally working through lobbying for this agenda to get this contract. IBM and Oracle and others are mad and suing over the issue. It's a big scandal. And I told you these big government entities are in bed with big business. It's fascist all the way. Where's the Antifa? Isn't Antifa supposed to be the anti-fascist groups? Well, anyway, they're not speaking up about this, but I am, because it's criminal. You got government in bed with big corporations, literally hiring folks that are lobbying Well, let me say this. Lobbying folks are working with government insiders while at the same time government insiders are negotiating salaries and jobs to be hired away from government by Amazon. I mean, it is an absolute sham. But don't worry. Nobody cares in America as we do business with the communist nation of China, our most favored nation trading partner. Amazon says 10 million items now qualify for one-day delivery. Well, how convenient that is when the Chinese get special privilege and Amazon gets special privilege with regards to shipping via the taxpayer. Wow. Big tech is big brother, writes Dennis Prager, and I concur with him. Looks like a judge dismisses House Democrat lawsuit against Trump border wall. Swats down claim of, quote, institutional injury. Well, I agree with Trump, and I agree with the court on that one. Having a cold, unsupportive mother now linked to premature aging and an increased disease risk, they say. That's what we talked about in hour one. In hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. Do you live in a right-to-work state? If not, simply move, Sam Bushman suggests. Donald Trump eliminates job killing regulations, March 30th, 2017. I appreciate Donald for doing that, but it's a drop in the ocean is the problem, President. Any regulation that is outdated, unnecessary, bad for workers, or contrary to the national, listen, interest will be scrapped, Donald J. Trump. Well, he speaks great rhetoric, but Patrick Simmons and others say we just don't see it happening. It's a great point, but it's just not going on. And we determined that it's not really Trump's fault necessarily. He's doing the best he can, but man, he's got a swamp around him so deep. But Donald needs to get rid of some of those swamp monsters and get folks like us that would be in there to support him. I'll tell you that right now. Naked activists protest Facebook's ban on nudity. I don't even know what that means. These activists running around the streets naked, if so, arrest them for indecent exposure. I mean, what's going on around here? Anything moral, lovely, and of good report is just shunned. And everything of perverse behavior, thoughts, action, just promoted. Wow. All right. It looks like Bernie Sanders, mega donor, advocated for Southern secession to rid the country of, quote, dumb people. I don't even understand that. And no one calls that out as racist, as bigoted, as hate-filled, but it's amazing what we see from the liberals with zero accountability. It's like any conservative is just absolutely muzzled, shut down, with very, very few exceptions. Either that or they're faux conservatives, not real in the first place, huh? U.S. House of Representatives passed $19.1 billion disaster relief bill. Republicans went for it big time. They all want to steal your money and provide handouts. It's a tragedy, to say the least. Rand Paul tried to rein in spending in the Senate, though, and got shut down by his own party big time. All the Democrats voted against Rand Paul, and over half of the Republicans. Turns out that his plan to balance the budget gets only 22 Republican votes in the Senate and zero Democratic votes. So there's my point, that guys like Donald Trump, guys like Rand Paul, they're doing the best they can in a super hostile system. But man, there's just no support for any common sense up there in the district of criminals. I mean, it's just amazing. The Democrats, the Republicans battling, but then the Republicans battling internally. That is a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is available online free. Download, listen today. LibertyRoundtable.com. And donate while you're there, would you please? All right, without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
We got a lot of news to rifle through. I'll tell you that right now. Kurt's giving me so many headlines, I'm just going to have to rock and roll. Kurt's got to be ready for this. Donald Trump vows rapid high tariffs on Mexico unless illegal immigration ends. He's getting criticized for this big time. Going to start out with 5% next week, he claims. And by October, if they don't cooperate and stop the illegal immigrations, Kurt, he vows 25% by October. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, I say that, countries just like you know, stores or people can, you know, choose to charge what they will when it comes to, you know, accessing their markets. I think the plan, at least, you know, I think he's tried about every other thing to deal with the border, and yet now, you know, maybe that'll get their attention. We'll see. I sure wish you would combine it with, well, we're going to eliminate the income tax because we've got all these tariffs coming in that we don't need to, you know, drive you crazy with that old tax that started in 1913. But I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, my fear is that Donald is going to just pile, you know, constitutional taxes on top of unconstitutional taxes. And the Democrats and others are screaming, hey, this will absolutely slow down the economy and ruin things. You know what? If he piles unconstitutional taxes on top of us and then constitutional taxes on top of that, he's right. Or they're right. So Donald needs to offset what he's doing to not abuse the American people. And we say, oh, don't worry, these foreign people will pay for it. Mexico will pay for it. You know, China will pay for it. That's only true as long as you reduce the other side of the equation for the American people. So I appreciate what Donald's saying, and I support tariffs, but I don't support the way that he's going about it. Neither do a lot of Democrats and or Republicans. Kopich is in the news. What we need from Mexico. Kurt's got details in seconds.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, Mexico. Others are speaking out, saying what we need from Mexico, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. And this guy, his name is Chris W. Kobach, I guess is how you say it, K-O-B-A-C-H. He's the general counsel of We Build the Wall. He served as the Secretary of State of Kansas. That was between 2011 and 2019. He's an expert in immigration law and policy, and he co-authored the Arizona SB 1070 immigration law. Let's see. Anyway, the bottom line, he knows what he's talking about. And he says that, you know, with these tariffs with Mexico, he says, to be sure, President Trump's tariffs to compel Mexican cooperation are unprecedented, but so is the migrant crisis we are facing. It's unlike anything the United States has seen before. The president's actions are exactly what is needed. Now we need him to hold firm until Mexico signs what he calls a safe third country agreement. Anything short of that would be insufficient to stem the flow of migrants. And I guess when I read the article, a safe third country agreement, they say, makes it so that anybody who's coming to Mexico to, you know, go on through for asylum or whatever to the United States, they've got to apply to Mexico first, and if Mexico grants it, then, you know, that, I mean, that's where they can stay, basically.
So say that again, because that doesn't make any sense to me, Kurt.
All right.
I'm not arguing that he's right. I'm just, okay, so say that again. What do we got to do to Mexico, and then they got to agree, and what?
Well, so these countries that are, you know, south of Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, I mean, you go on down the list.
Yes, sir.
That's where a lot of these people have been coming from.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, these things called a safe third country agreement. So, in other words, let's pretend
let's
people
be clear, though.
Are
what
being
agreement? Internationally.
Well, these are just ones that apparently go on between countries.
Yeah, so an international agreements, if you will.
All right. This would make it so that, I guess we have one of these with Canada. It says this would require asylum applicants to file their asylum application in the first safe country they set foot in. And he puts in parentheses, so applicants in the caravans from Central America would have to seek asylum in Mexico rather than the United States.
Yeah, and I guess my point on this is that's debatable if you think Mexico is a safe country or not, Kurt.
Well, I'm just telling
you
what
the
article says.
Yeah, and I agree with the point, though, Kurt. I think the point's right, and I think for once these negotiations between countries we have right. But what do you do internationally when these other countries don't honor it, Kurt?
Well, we see that all the time. I guess we give money, right, Sam?
Well, I think that's exactly what we do, and that's my whole point. That's what we ought to not do. And my whole point is to say that I think Donald's got this right. I think this writer's got this right. And I think we need to basically not play ball with these countries that do this. We simply say, okay, fine. Access to our markets will become massively expensive for you. Foreign aid to you will be gone. Et cetera, right? So I'm not arguing that this author's not right. I think this author's right. I'm not arguing against Trump. I'm arguing for Trump. My whole point is to break this down and say, look, what leverage do we have otherwise, folks? Just make international agreements, Kurt, and nobody obeys them, and we just suffer the consequences? See, I don't think that's acceptable either.
We're the only ones that keep the agreement, right, Sam? I mean, isn't
I agree.
That the way it works? I mean, it's like Hillary skirts the law and the rest of us have to make sure we pay the parking ticket. You know what
I mean? You're right. And what I'm saying is I don't think we ought to break the agreement. But what I think we should do is change the agreement and or say we're going to hold our end of the bargain. We expect you to hold yours. And there will be penalties. There will be consequences if you don't do your part as you promised you would. So I think Trump
is
right.
The president says NATO ought to pay for their fair share.
Yes, sir.
You know, on down the list.
Right? I think Donald's right, and I think this writer's right. So I don't break down the details to disagree. I break down the details to hopefully help Americans understand this is very simple. If we make an international agreement, Kurt, with a country, which we have every right to make agreements with countries if we want to, and I agree with protecting the innocent who really do need protection. If they want to flee, I understand that there needs to be a process to give them protection. The problem is that process should not be abused. And I think that's this author's point. I think that's Trump's point. And I think both of them are spot on, Kurt. Kopich is right. What we need from Mexico is them to honor their agreements. Isn't that the bottom line, Kurt?
Yeah. Make it a two-way thing where it's fair for everybody.
Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Wow. So anyway, I spend time on it to make sure people don't gloss over the details and get confused by what Kopich and what Donald Trump and what others are saying. Because the mainstream press and the liberals, the extremists who don't care about, you know, honor, they want to make the water so muddy on this, Kurt, that it's hard to understand what we're talking about. All we're talking about is fairness in international agreements. And when we make them, we expect people to honor them. Isn't that what we're really talking about? When it comes to trade, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to, I mean, this covers almost all the topics too, doesn't it, Kurt?
Seems like it.
You know, you brought up the NATO or, you know, our international funding of supposedly the peace movement around the world, which I, you know, that's debatable, but I digress. Your point is Donald's even calling for fairness for that. Same principle, different topic.
Like the Paris Accord and all the different ones. I mean, it's the same old deal.
Now, the mainstream press, again, doubles down against us, and they use National Public Radio for their bidding. Headline says, NPR fact checks Trump. Kurt?
Yeah.
This is a little bit comical.
I guess it is. I guess the president was talking about, he's over in England, you know, and the mayor of London happens to be, I guess, a guy from Palestine or whatever. They call him Sadiq Khan, and no relation to the Khan Academy guy, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, now they call it Londonistan.
But isn't it spelled the same way, K-H-A-N?
Pakistan. Yes, it is.
So that's interesting.
But they basically now say that London's kind of like Pakistan. But anyway, here's the headline from
Wait
Breitbart.
A minute. NPR London's kind of like Pakistan? Checks. Are you off your rockers?
Well, that's what they're saying.
I think there's a big difference
immigration.
In those countries.
Well, I know, but I mean, I think it's heading that direction, you know.
Yes, it is.
It says NPR fact checks Trump, Sadiq Khan isn't half the height of de Blasio. That's only 3 feet. So I guess Mayor de Blasio from New York is like 6'5 or whatever. And this guy, Khan, from London, or at least that lives there now, is about, 5'6 or something. And so the president made a joke about him. You know, at least to me it's a joke. But these guys are a little bit, you know, they, I guess you could say, humorously challenged.
So this is the mayor guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's happening is that they're all derailing Donald's whole trip of, in my opinion, diplomatic relations, negotiations, fun. People are loving Donald. It's all going great. But the mainstream press had to pick one joke that Donald tried to make to kind of put things a little bit in perspective, in my opinion. And the whole mainstream press news is just flat out derailed on the joke. You know, how evil Donald is, and he shouldn't have made that joke. And okay, stop. It was just a joke. Was it timed well? Probably not. But it doesn't matter what Donald does. They'll find something to obfuscate, in my opinion, all the good work being done behind the scenes. There's a lot of good stuff being done internationally right now. And they're eclipsing all of it with this sideshow, Kurt.
Yeah, and the president, you know, he enjoys interactions with the press, and so he was
being
asked
questions. Isn't the
president
pretty tall too, Kurt, by the way?
Well, I think he is. Yeah, he's in there. He says, one difference, Trump said, between the two mayors, he has said that Khan is only half the height of de Blasio. And that's not true. Mayor Khan is 5'6", it says. And then it says NPR did the math and discovered that if the mayor were half the size of de Blasio, 6'5", he would be just over 3 feet tall. So anyway, there you go. The fact checking of the NPR, another,
But see, this just shows how ignorant and hate-filled they really are, though, Kurt. Look, they're going to literally... What if a liberal made a joke like that?
They can't get a joke.
What if Nancy Pelosi or Maxine Waters or you know, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, you know, said something like, oh, man, you know, Donald isn't half the man that former President Clinton was. They wouldn't literally measure a man how big he is in circumference and then go, oh, Donald Trump isn't twice as thin. If so, he would only be like 16 inches around. Okay, this is just goofy, nitpicking, waste of time sideshow stuff for the mainstream press that we pay with our tax dollars to compete with Liberty News Radio and everybody else. It's amazing. The U.S. government wastes billions on fragmented, overlapping programs. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump among more than a dozen leaders commemorating D-Day this morning at an event in Portsmouth, England. Opening the ceremony, President Trump read the same prayer that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had read during a radio message just ahead of D-Day in June of 1944.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization.
D-Day was the largest combined land, air, naval invasion in history, marking the beginning of the Allies' victory in World War II Europe. Private sector job creation slowing to a crawl in May. The ADP private payrolls report just out shows just 27,000 new positions. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Two medical testing companies now say patient information may have been compromised one day after Quest Diagnostics announced a data breach affecting 12 million of its patients. LabCorp said yesterday that data of 7.7 million of its patients may have been exposed by a data breach. The breach itself happened at a third-party collections firm. Later today, a Missouri judge may decide the fate of that state's only remaining abortion clinic. A hearing is planned about whether the Planned Parenthood clinic in St. Louis can continue to operate after state officials refuse to renew its license.
Pray that the judge will make the best decision possible, the best decision to truly protect pregnant women and their children.
That's Karen Nolkemper, who is with the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Oakland, California is now the second city in the nation to decriminalize so-called magic mushrooms. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so duplicative is one of the terms being used. Our U.S. government wastes billions of dollars on overlapping, or they call them duplicative. I like that word. Government programs, Kurt. And I would add the word unconstitutional while we're at it, but nevertheless.
Good point, Sam. And by the way, this piece comes to us from judicialwatch.org.
Good for Tom Fitton and crew.
Yeah, good point. And I guess they got it from this little-known thing called the Government Accountability Office, Sam. It says the federal government wastes tens of billions of dollars on all sorts of fragmented, overlapping, or duplicative programs in areas ranging from health care to defense. And, you know, and it goes on and on and on. But the bottom line is, Sam, I mean, we've seen these reports over the years where they say, hey, man, there's lots of ways we could save money. And I always wonder, man, what would it be like if we really looked at it? But, you know, they tell you there's a whole bunch of different ones. They give a few examples. For example, you know, they say the U.S. Mint could reduce the cost of coin production by millions of dollars annually. The Internal Revenue Service could save tens of millions of dollars a year by more efficiently combating tax fraud and noncompliance. You know, there's just lots of ways. Department of Energy could save billions of dollars by developing a, you know, and they go on. But the bottom line is these are reports from the government that you'd sure think Congress and the White House, etc., could get together and say, well, at least we ought to take our own report and save money from it. Right, Sam?
Yes, and what I find interesting about this, Kurt, is you and I, right when the Republicans got control, and then they were gaining more control and working on a, you know, more governorships across the country and on the president. They had the House, they had the Senate, they were working on it, you know, before they got control of everything. You and I basically said they need to put people in place. I love the cutting tax ideas they're talking about. We love the opportunity that the Republicans have now. And I talked about how narrow of a window of opportunity it was. And I said they've got to stand hardcore for pro-life. And they have got to really reduce spending along with reducing taxes. I mean, I support the reduction of taxes. But unless you put a counter initiative of less spending along with the tax cuts, it'll never last. It'll be temporary in nature. It will never last. And the Republicans have a very narrow window to get this done. They squandered their efforts, Kurt. They literally failed. So sadly now we've got these duplicative, we've got these overlapping programs that just never, 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 never end. And we talked about having Donald Trump put Kurt Crosby maybe as the budget czar. We're joking about czar. We don't believe in czars. I'm just making a point that we need a team, not in the swamp, but an outside team. And by the way, I happen to be, for a day job, my living is an IT director. And I also work with accounting teams very closely, and I know quite a bit about accounting. And, you know, between me and Kurt and others, we've got experts around us that know a lot about accounting. We're going to have a great one on coming up on Friday, though, by the way. Surprise guest for your enjoyment, speaking of budgetary reality checks and more. Nevertheless, I digress, except to say we really doubled down and said they got to get an independent, non-swamp team to dig into this and go through line by line and decrease these duplicative, these expensive, these overlapping, these unnecessary, these unconstitutional programs, and we could save a mint. And one of the people that I've put on the team, by the way, if I were to build a team of accounting professionals, of information and technology professionals, and of people who would be on this team, Kurt, I would put President Donald J. Trump's wife. What's her name? Melania?
That's right.
And yeah. I would have her on the team, Kurt, as part of my group, because look, she's already done it in her department. So we could use her guidance, her lead, her input, if you will, to really get this done. And Donald, I would put together some of the best accounting people, not the inside swamp monster Federal Reserve style accounting people. I'm talking about people that really understand budgets line by line. In other words, it's no different than a family or a small business. It's just more money going out the door. Right. Anyway, I'd put the team together, Kurt, and I'd put people like Melania on it personally, because she's got a track record of success. That's why.
That's right.
Mainstream press won't tell you that, but I will. Kurt will. And so we really highlighted this, though, Kurt, and I think this is kind of the issue. Republicans have done nothing. In fact, Rand Paul put everybody on record literally Monday evening. He had a penny plan, which was, let's not accept the increased expenditures and of continued increases as our baseline. Let's just say if we spent a dollar yesterday or last year, we're going to spend 99 cents this year. Now he said it takes 98 cents because we waited so long. The debt, the interest, it just keeps going up exponentially. And so let's cut 2 pennies. Kurt, he only got 22 people to vote with him. 21, because he's 22, right? So he only got 21 people out of the Senate, less than a fifth, to even agree with him. His Republican Party literally overwhelmingly betrayed him. Over 50% of the Republicans rejected his simple savings plan or his simple reduction in spending plan. So I know Donald's tried to reduce spending. I commend him. I know Rand Paul's tried to reduce spending. I know Mike Lee and others voted with him. Did Ted Cruz vote with him, Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, we've got a few good men.
I didn't see Rubio on the list.
Well, shame on Marco.
Or Sessions.
Shame on Sessions. You know. But I will say good for Romney, who voted for it as well. Yes, but this is an really example where, Kurt, the Republicans aren't getting it done. The swamp is too deep. And even though Rand Paul's doing a great job, even though Donald Trump's doing a great job, everybody's trying. Donald needs to do more. He needs to put a team together, as we talked about in the very beginnings of the Republican, quote, what do you call it when they controlled and literally had everything in their palm, Kurt? What's that called? Opportunity of a lifetime?
Yeah.
That's maybe what I would call it. So in the opportunity of a lifetime, they literally squandered it. And even now, they still control the Senate, and they still fail in the single branch that they control now, Kurt. Mm-hmm. And so I'm disappointed. I don't mean to go on the attack, but I got to highlight where we're going off the rails. Well, the bottom line is the Republicans then want you to believe they're going to put good guys on the Supreme Court. They're going to lower taxes. They're the accountable ones. Elect them in 2020. Well, David Kapelian of WorldNet Daily or WND.com speaks out on this and says the only way Trump can lose in 2020 is, Kurt?
Well, yeah, the bottom line is what he says is if you let the Facebooks, the Googles, you know, all these guys like this continue to basically manage all the information and make it so that people like WorldNet Daily and others can't get, money for their traffic, if you will, then, hey, the president loses. That's what he says.
And I think he's right, and I think you're completely spot on, Kurt, except for I would change one word. You said manage, I would say control.
Very good.
Because they're not just managing it honorably, Kurt. They're literally manipulating it and controlling it to promote their agenda. But here's what I would say. As long as Donald doesn't work on the budget, as long as Donald doesn't put together a team and highlight this, we're giving money hand over fist to some of these companies, Kurt.
Yeah.
And you would say, well, Sam, I don't see a check being written. No, but it might just be in the special privileges they get. It might be in the special protections they get. It might be in the, okay, that's what we're talking about here. Okay? Primarily, if you go look at the Mueller report, or whatever that thing is, Mueller report, and it's longer than I'll get out, Kurt. It's 400 plus pages. I've read probably 170 pages of the thing. The problem is it's so hard to dig through, and it's so convoluted. But anyway, as I look at it, Facebook and Twitter and Google and iTunes and what's that thing called? YouTube, primarily at the center of the whole scandal, Kurt. And you could say, well, the Russians took advantage of them. Well, whatever. I'm not here to just blame the Russians, but where's the accountability for Facebook? Big Tech hates Donald. Big Tech, do you think they'd have a motive, Kurt?
Yeah.
To attack the Donald? They hate Donald. Okay, well, the battle goes on, and they're just going to blame it on Russia, and we're going to say, even though there's a motive to go against Trump. Whoa, wait a minute. Facebook was used to help Donald, Sam, not go against Donald. Really? Are you sure? Are you sure, or was Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these things, Google, used to distract the public so Hillary didn't go to jail, and then eventually to turn back against Donald Trump if he won? If he didn't win, they gain the whole. They want the cake and they want to eat it too scenario, right? If not, then they can still come back with a double-edged sword against the Donald. It's diabolical, Kurt. It's evil. And Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these groups, Google, they were at the helm of it, but here's the problem. They haven't changed their ways or stopped doing what they're doing at all. The new media taking center stage has been taken over by big tech, big brother tech, and old media in bed together, Kurt.
That's right.
And Donald's done nothing but rhetoric about it, huh?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Mueller's trying to get the Donald. The Donald's trying to get Mueller. And it just seems like it's all rhetoric, Kurt. Everybody's talking about locking everybody else up, but nobody's locking anybody up, Kurt. Seems like a massive distraction. Special Counsel Robert Mueller should be censured, if not disbarred, for violating Department of Justice rules and turning the legal system upside down for political purposes. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, you know, the one thing I like about this headline, Sam, is, in my opinion, remember the days of old when we hear about these NAFTA agreements of like 5,000 pages, you know, and you have to read all that stuff. Well, I like these news stories where basically the headline tells you the whole news story. And so then you can just, you know, it's like the one item at a time, you know, thing. And so
that's why I'm so particular about our show notes, Kurt, and writing headlines that matter. So when I see a headline that doesn't have somebody's name in it, so I don't know who. Remember, you got to talk about the who, what, when, where, why of a news story to the best of your ability in the headline to where you can get it in sound bites. We need to be better at narrowing it down and focusing. And that's why I'm so particular about our headlines. I agree with you on this headline. My point, though, is we need to really double down and get this right, Kurt. And I think it's critical to do exactly what you're saying. There's just too much otherwise for people to be caught up and in the know and involved.
There you go.
So keep going. You like this headline?
Well, I'm just telling you, at least to me, the headline just tells you the whole thing.
It does, and it's right on. The only problem I have with it is we talk about Barr violating Justice Department rules, or I'm sorry, Mueller violating these rules. I don't know that we ought to talk about violating rules as much as we ought to talk about criminal activity.
Yep.
Okay, and as I see this, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, some of these services, Instagram, whatever, they've been violating laws and rules too. And when you think about what Mueller has done over the last couple of years, no accountability for Facebook or Twitter or any of these people, just an attack on the Donald, and then you look at the rules they violated. I mean, they literally subpoenaed everybody, and they only to come back and say, well, we think Donald's bad. We don't really have any evidence to prove it. We don't have any authority to do anything about it, but we're going to point the finger to let Congress advance this. At some point, it borders on criminality, Kurt. And so I think he should be disbarred and censored, but more than just violating rules, I think he's bordered on some criminal activity, Kurt, of treason. I really think so. The people he's been in bed with to make a lot of these allegations and things like that. Can you make allegations against the President of the United States for over 2 years? And then at the end, millions and millions and millions of dollars later and years later, and an allegation that when you have no pay dirt, then just go, oh, Congress, you got to take it from here. I'm going to do all I can, even though I don't have any evidence to open the door. And I'm not going to hold accountable or Facebook. I'm going to hold the Russians responsible and Donald responsible, even though I can't quite connect the two yet. But if I keep the door open, Congress might. I'm going to talk about a witch hunt on steroids. So I agree with the headline, without a doubt. Larry Klayman speaking out in defense of Judge Roy Moore, though, Kurt. Larry Klayman says this, Judge Roy Moore and I have sued Cohen for defamation. See, this is what I'm talking about. And they've done the same thing to the Donald that they've done to Roy Moore, Kurt, by the way. This lowlife must be held legally accountable, says Larry Klayman. Speaking of Cohen. Amen.
Yeah, and that's, I guess this guy's name is Sasha Cohen, some, you know,
Yeah, so let me explain the Sasha Cohen. This guy's an undercover comedian that literally supposedly gets people in interviews and then kind of betrays them with this undercover idea where it's not really a legitimate interview and it's not the organization that people believe that it is. So Roy Moore, they'll call him up and they'll say, Roy, we need to do an interview about this or promote this or we want you to come and talk about this. And it's all a big old sham with a goal of undermining and betraying for comedian type purposes or to get egg on the face of these conservatives. And so Judge Roy Moore and I have sued Cohen. Well, this is what they're doing to Donald Trump, Kurt. The same thing Cohen's doing to Roy Moore, not in political interviews, but in government agencies. The similar thing's happening, which is this. Look, we'll bring everybody related to you before us. We'll betray them. We'll manipulate them. And then we'll use everything against them. And we had Jerome Corsi on our program talking about that. They literally took Jerome Corsi, put him in a room with no windows, literally cross-examined him and documented everything to the point where they tried to get him to cross himself. And if they said, do you remember this? And he's like, I'm not sure. Well, I think so. And how about this? And, well, yes. Wait a minute. You said yes yesterday or a month ago on this, and now you're saying no? Well, I can't quite remember. And the way you asked the question is slightly different, and my answer is different. No, you lied. You perjured yourself. Okay, well, they're trying to do the same thing to the Donald. It's a Cohen-type betrayal, even though it's slightly different, but the principles, Kurt, I submit, are the same. One guy's doing it for funnies and to get rich and to mock people and discredit our side. The others are doing it to put people behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, anything else on this one? I agree.
No.
Big time with Larry Klayman on this, though, Kurt. Big time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, now Roy Moore and Larry Klayman are suing Cohen. That's good news. But now yeah. Roy Moore says U.S. Senate-run decision to come in June. So he's saying, I'm going to decide whether I'm going to run for the Senate in June. This is Roy Moore, Alabama, right? And then he says this, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Why is there such fear in Washington, D.C. of mere mention of my name and the possibility that I might run? Kurt, I think he's right again.
Well, it's what we've talked about forever, at least, Sam, when it comes to Judge Roy Moore. He's a guy who, I mean, he's actually stood for things. Now, the standard media will say, oh, he got beat about this or got beat about that, and that's simply because he didn't have enough people standing with him. But he's stood for the Ten Commandments, for man-woman marriage, and also for the stand for running for the Senate, and was only beat, in my opinion, because you've got the national boys that see the power that a leader like him has.
But Kurt, listen, the only way that leadership, the swamp, could do what they did was Facebook, Twitter, Google, Instagram, all these organizations in bed with mainstream press to manipulate what the people saw and heard. They literally, with no evidence, except for a couple of allegations, literally destroyed Roy Moore's name and character. I mean, it is libel, slander to the utmost degree. They should be accountable for this. But again, where's the Donald? He's actually attacking Roy Moore. He's not defending Roy Moore's character. He's not defending Roy Moore's name. He's not defending the honor of the system to say you can't do that. Donald promised to go against the libel and slander laws and make sure that these mainstream moguls, if you will, couldn't continue to do this stuff. But while James Edwards gets barbecued with lies, and while Roy Moore gets barbecued with lies, we see Donald eating crumpets, drinking tea, having a good time. He's not doubling down on this like he promised he would, Kurt. What have you seen Donald do to get rid of the abusive libel and slander manipulations and tighten down on that stuff? He hasn't done anything that I can see. I mean, I consider Roy Moore a personal friend and James Edwards a personal friend, Kurt.
That's right. One other key thing to know here is, at least in my opinion, is number one, there's a whole bunch of stuff that has to be done. And, you know, whether the president is really getting it done or not, you'd probably have to be right along with him, you know, about everything and knowing about every little move he makes. And as far as I can see, the press is not going to report those good things. You're going to have to hunt really hard.
Yeah, all I know is when Julian Assange is going to prison, when my buddy Steve Stockman sits in prison, when my buddy Sam Gerard sits in prison, when these things are going on, and then I see that the mainstream press can just lie about my buddy James Edwards and lie about my buddy Roy Moore and get away with all of it, somebody needs to put a focus on this. If Donald could give me a couple of $1 million, I'll even do it from the outside to help. Whatever it takes. I mean, I get it. I'm not here to suggest nothing's being done, but as I see it, not enough's being done, and I'm offering my services to help. And you say, well, Sam, you're just asking for big money. Okay, you control every budget. I'm not asking you to give me personally, Sam Bushman, a penny. I got a day job, okay? I actually spend money on this stuff, not ask for money most of the time. However, what I'm saying is the money can be all used to further the cause then, Kurt. Why don't we hold a press conference in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club to highlight this? Why don't we get a couple of congressmen and senators with the backing of President Trump to appear there, and we can do it all while Trump's in England? Okay, we can do a ton from the outside even if we don't work for government. Just look at the great work David A. Clark Jr. and that crippled veteran, what's his name? I don't have his name handy. Brian Coford, I think it is. Okay, they're doing tremendous work from the outside to make the point, Kurt. There's a lot of us that could do some great help, great things, great work. But we've got to somehow be able to put the issue on the map. And we're too tiny footprint in the media to control enough of the narrative, Kurt. But if Donald tweeted in support of us, tweeted the issue that we could jump on like Coford did, and then if we can get some campaign, GoFundMe campaign stuff or some way to raise a chunk of change, we could be off to the races with solutions. Anyway, I commend Roy Moore. He's spot on. I hope he runs in June. My prayers are that he does, and I agree with him. Why are they all in panic and fear just at the mention of his name running? Because they know full well that if we don't commit election fraud, if we have honest, transparent, real, true elections, Roy Moore will be the next senator from Alabama. I'm predicting it if they don't commit vote fraud, and I'm praying for it, and I'll do all that I can to help it occur. All right, Laura Ingraham in the news, Kurt. She's in trouble now. She backed a guy by the name of Paul Nehlen. And she said he's one of the most prominent voices censored, on social media. Do you know who Paul Nehlen is, Kurt?
Doesn't ring a bell right now.
Remember, he's the guy that ran in a big election?
Oh, wait a minute.
And he lost.
I think he was in like Virginia or somewhere in there, and they said a certain thing about him, and it wasn't true. Said
right.
He was a criminal or something like that, and it wasn't true. And so then it was just before the election.
Yeah,
so
he ran in the Republican primary.
It was like
he was a representative from Wisconsin.
When the FBI raided him just before the election, the headline read, just before the day before or something, and then later the truth came out that it was a bogus deal. And I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so they say Paul Nehlen is an American white supremacist, Kurt, and he was in the Republican primary for the U.S. representative for Wisconsin, and he tried to run basically, and he lost. But this, again, Paul Nehlen is experiencing the same thing Donald Trump is, the same thing Roy Moore is, the same thing. And Laura Ingraham stands up and defends Paul Nehlen and says he's one of the prominent voices censored on social media. Okay, this goes right back to my point, though. I'm telling you, Donald and crew are going to get their heads handed to them until we get a handle on this, Kurt. So I don't know where the money's going to come from for the new media to take center stage and step up. But without it, we're done. You and I can be crying voices in the wilderness. But we can't control the narrative. And there's got to be a way to get it done. I commend the work being done by David Clark and by Brian Coford. I commend the work being done by a lot of people, but man, we've got to have more of it. Roy Moore and Larry Klayman and Sam Bushman, and we all need help to make our movement more prominent. I'll tell you that right now. It's very hard to hold the swamp accountable. In fact, Ron Paul, makes the same point. We'll play a soundbite from Ron next hour. We got Becky Akers with us. We got a lot going on, folks. And we'll bring it all to you in seconds. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.